really look back at the suffering that Christ went through and the medical part of it, it all started right then. And it left me with this question: if I'm going to start at the garden, I had to. It's going to drop in there, but we'll look at it. I had to think about what Christ was thinking on the way to the garden. You really think about what Christ was thinking about. First of all, it was a Passover. Christ going his way to the garden, getting ready to pray to the Lord and saying, please, if there's any way possible for this cup to pass from me, please let it pass. But not my will be done, but thy will be done. So you know Jesus was thinking about that cross. First of all, it was a Passover. He knew that he had to be the perfect Lamb of God. He knew that he had to die on that cross. It could no longer be a pass, the overing of the sins. So he had to be thinking about that, that he was going to be the one that had to be this perfect sacrifice. He knew he just left the Lord's Supper with his disciples. Oh, that had to be hard, because you know how close he was with the disciples. He was trying to teach them the last lesson that he would have to be able to teach them before the cross. He tried to impose on them what he was getting ready to go through. He also realized there would be one that would betray him. He also realized that there would be one that would deny him 3 times. And the other disciples would be scared and scattered because of what was going through on that cross. You know, Jesus had seen the Romans crucify people on the cross. And I'll say this throughout the lesson, the Romans did not invent the cross, but they sure did perfect the cross for the suffering. So Jesus, throughout his travels through life, saw people being crucified on that cross. So he knew what he was about to go through. He knew what pain and suffering it was going to be that he was going to have to face. He also crossed the Kidron Valley stream. Why is that important? That important because this time of year, scholars said that stream ran red, full of blood from all the sacrifices. That time of the year, this stream would be running red with blood and water. The significance of that, that Jesus must have had to realize that he was going to have to shed blood and water on the cross for each and every one of us. And so when he crossed that, he was thinking about that most likely. I can't guarantee you what Jesus was thinking about on that travel, but you've got to think about all these things that were around him that he had a chance to think about. And why the garden? Why is the significance of the garden? We read the anguish that he was because he went and prayed that this, if any way possible for this to cup to pass from me, please let it pass from me. So you know he was under great anguish. How much anguish? We read about Jesus sweating blood. You ask, is that even possible for somebody to sweat blood? It is a medical condition. It's a rare condition that creates that somebody can sweat blood. And it is a life-threatening condition in most cases for those who are able to sweat blood on it. And in Luke chapter 22 verse 44 tells us this. And he being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Listen to this just for a second. And he began in anguish. You wonder when you suffer things in life, you struggle with things, and you struggle with emotions that are hard to bear. Maybe it's the sickness in a family. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's how am I going to get through next week with all the struggles. We have the comfort to know that when we go pray to God to help us through those anguish, that Jesus knows exactly what we went through. Because Jesus had so much anguish that he literally sweated blood. The sweat glands burst, the blood vessels of the sweat glands burst, and he actually sweated blood. So when we go to God in prayer, we can realize that Jesus understands what anguish is really all about. But this starting his suffering right here in the garden. This is beginning of his body actually changing and creating the conditions of why He died on the cross. We got to understand that Jesus is praying for this to come to pass. But we got to also understand He went willingly to that cross. He went willingly to that cross. A couple of verses I want to read to you this morning as we talk about Jesus' betrayal and arrest. In John chapter 18, verse 5, they said, "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. And He says, I am he, Jesus said. The Judas, the traitor who stood there beside Him. When Jesus said, "I am He," they drew back and fell to the ground. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 53, tells us this. "Do you not think that I cannot call on my Father and He will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" Y'all need to realize this. In the garden, when it came to arresting, days prior to this, He was being raised as a king. So when they brought the soldiers to arrest Him, it wasn't just a handful of soldiers. Most likely it was 600 soldiers that were brought to Him to arrest Him, because they thought there were going to be a lot of people there, because they saw what occurred days prior to that, He being raised as a king. But you need to realize, when He spoke, they were knocked to the ground. Jesus could have stopped this just by speaking. He didn't have to go through this. He chose to go through this. He chose to be the ransom for each and every one of us. And if He wanted to, He could have called 12 legions of angels at any point. When He starts the suffering on the cross, He could have said, "This is it. This is done. Send me down the angels." But He went through it. As we talk about His anguish and what He suffered on the cross, realize He willingly suffered for you. He willingly died on that cross for you. He held nothing back. In John chapter 19, verse 1, we begin to talk about the scourging of Jesus. "So then Pilate took Jesus and had Him scourged, flogged, and whipped." I could talk about the Romans. When Jesus suffered, you'll see pictures of His arms being held up like this. It may even show Him on His knees, but the purpose of being held up like this was to pull the skin tight and the muscles tight. So when they took that whip and struck Jesus on the back, it created the most damage. It tore open the skin. It tore into the muscles, into His muscles. The actual whip was designed for suffering. The whip was probably about this long, but every few inches was a piece of metal or a piece of bone to actually open up the muscles and the skin. It was designed for suffering. You know, the Jewish law says, and some scholars believe, that Jesus was only whipped 39 times. Because the Jewish law is you cannot whip somebody more than 40 times. And they stopped at 39 so they would not break the law. But you got to remember who was doing the whipping. It was Roman soldiers who did not care about the law, who did not care about Jewish traditions or laws. So they whipped Him to the point of near death. Now, we see a lot of pictures, and I frustrated when I did the study and I thought about it, that's so true. You see a lot of pictures of a feeble Jesus on the cross. The one is skinny and looks like he's sickened. Jesus was a strong man. Jesus walked wherever He went. He was in His 30s when this occurred. He was a healthy man. He was a strong man because he was a carpenter. So he was able to endure this. Well, most people would have died at this point. But Jesus was preparing for this suffering His whole life. He was preparing to be the ransom for you and I. So Jesus was a healthy man, a strong man. He was taken to the point of death on this. We need to realize that. Let's talk about the crown of thorns and the purple robe. In John 19, verse 2 through 3 tells us this. "And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on His head, and put a purple robe around Him, and kept coming up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews, good health, peace, long life to you, the King of the Jews." And they slapped him in his face. Every aspect of what Jesus went through was designed for suffering. This was the crown of thorns, actually made of the thorns that was in Russ's office, of the same thorns that would have been used during Jesus' time, that plant still there. I couldn't hold it. Every time I tried to pick it up, it stuck me. These thorns on these crowns are this long. And I want you to imagine that being placed on his head and pressed down into his skull. These thorns are going into his scalp, creating blood that's going into his eyes and burning on him. Other verses in the Bible tells us that they came by and struck him in the head. What's going to happen when they struck him in the head and hit the crown? They're going to break those thorns off and they're going to be left in a scalpel. Can you imagine you've had a splinter in your finger or a thorn in your finger and how bad that hurts? Imagine these thorns that are left in his head. How bad they hurt. And how bad that suffering had to be that wear that crown of thorns and leave these thorns left in his head. Every aspect of what Christ went through was designed for his suffering on our behalf. Now you think the purple robe, ain't much to that, right? It was just a robe over his shoulder. Sure, he was whipped along his back and along his shoulder and along his legs. But just a purple robe, what suffering does that cause? All y'all who are my age remember this. My age and older. Back when I was a little kid, when I used to ride my bike and I wrecked my bike and I skinned my knee, I go home to my mom and she's got to clean it up. And what she does is she cleans it up and puts that Band-Aid over it. You know what it used to fear me more than skinning my knee? The day that Band-Aid had to come off. That Band-Aids today, they come off real easily. Because they got ointment on them, designed them, and they come right in them. Band-Aids in our day was made of nothing but cotton. So what occurred is the blood soaked through the Band-Aid. The Band-Aid became part of my skin. My mom used to say, "I'm going to do it quick," and rip it off. But, oh man, that hurt. Imagine a cotton purple robe put around Jesus' back. What occurred is the robe soaked the blood up and became part of his skin. So when they ripped that purple robe, these pictures don't do justice. Ripped that purple robe off, it's like ripping his skin right back off again. Remember, he could have said, "Father, I've had enough. Send me those 12 legions of angels." But he refused to. Every aspect of what Christ went through was designed for suffering for our behalf. Now we talk about the cross. Now the cross probably weighed about 300 pounds, and that the straight up part was up already in the ground. He most likely carried the horizontal part of the cross. That weighed about 125 pounds. You can imagine that being placed on your back and shoulder that has been freshly whipped on it. In John chapter 19, it says, in verse 17, it says, "They took Jesus therefore, and he went out, bearing his own cross." Remember that. Bearing his own cross to the place of the skull, to the place that they called the skull. Jesus has already been whipped. He's already suffered so much trauma already where most people wouldn't have survived. Can you imagine this? Jesus carrying that cross. And at some point, he can't carry it no more. He falls to his knees and that cross takes him to the ground. The suffering of that cross landing on his back. And then he had to carry that cross. For Simon, they found somebody named Simon to take that cross and carry it for him. From that point on, but he had to carry that cross and it brought him to the ground. But he carried his own cross. Now we got to think about the nail that Jesus had put through his hands. The nail was about 7 to 9 inches long. It was square when it was made. And it was driven through his hand. And this, medically, it's still part of your hand. A lot of people don't realize that. You see pictures of this, but it was driven through here. Because if you take your hand and bend it back just a little bit, you'll feel an indention. By driving that nail through that one nail could hold up his whole body on it. But the thing is, when they drove those nails through his hands, and you can imagine him being on this cross and nailing one up here and one up here. They took his left foot and put it over his right leg, and I'll explain why here in a minute, and drove one through there, being on the cross this way. When I say everything's designed for suffering, there are two nerves that run right through your hand right here, right along here. And when those nails were driven through there, they hit those nerves. You've ever had a toothache and hit a nerve in that tooth, how bad that hurts. This is what they were doing when they drove those nails through Jesus' hand. They hit two nerves. And what happens is it's almost like electricity running down his arms and shoulders when they're hitting that nerve. It burns. It creates the hands to curl up because of so much pain. And think about that when we start talking about him being on the cross and how he died on the cross. It's every aspect. From the nails to every aspect of the cross, the way he was on the cross was designed for suffering. I want you to think about something before we really talk about what Christ being hung on the cross. Some of the things he suffered with. Some of the things that he said while he was on the cross. The first thing he said, "For God forgive them because they do not know what they are doing." Luke 23:34. First of all, he asked for forgiveness for the very people that stuck him on the cross. And this becomes significant here in a moment. He also said, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Talking about one of the thieves on the cross. Y'all remember that? The two thieves on the cross were talking. One was rebuking Jesus, and the other one told that thief, "We deserve to be here. This man has done nothing wrong. We are in the same boat as those two that were on the cross. We deserve to be on that cross. Christ Jesus didn't deserve to be on that cross. We deserve it. It was our sins that put him on that cross." But Jesus thought about that thief on the cross. He also said, "Dear woman, here is your son." And the purpose of that, for that, was he was telling the disciples and those who were close to Jesus to please take care of my mother. Watch over her. Make sure that she's provided for. Why is that so significant while you're hanging on that cross? Let me tell you what occurs when you hang on that cross. When you hang on that cross, your arms are up here. Your legs are crossed. It's a design that your lungs are not able to work. It's putting too much stress on your lungs. To get a breath to breathe, to take in oxygen, you literally have to push on those nails of your feet. When you push just to get a breath, it creates pain. When you land back on those arms and hands, the nerves that you're pushing on creates pain. There's no part of that cross that's designed to be comfort. Sometimes you'll see a platform in some pictures. Those platforms, from what I research, is for those at times they want them to live longer. If they didn't have that platform, it was designed to create nothing but suffering the whole time they were on that cross. And that's what Jesus went through. It was designed for suffering the whole time that he was on that cross, to the very moment of his death. Now, you think about that. His heart has already been going at a high rate of speed for a while because he was sweating blood earlier that night. His body's starting to make changes. He's already starting to get dehydrated. So his blood, his heart is working so hard. Now that to get a breath, he has to pull himself up and push up on his feet to get any little bit of oxygen he can. But if y'all, a lot of y'all No, if you're not getting the oxygen, then you also have to breathe out the bad stuff, the carbon dioxide that's in your blood system. Because if you don't get that out there, that creates a lot of bad stuff that goes on in your body. Your cells need and your muscles need oxygen to survive. The heart is a muscle. So all that bad stuff staying in there, he's starting to develop fluid. Any of those who've dealt with congestive heart failure people will see edema in their feet, fluid on their lungs. And this is what Jesus is going through, struggling just to actually catch a breath. His body's starting to change and suffer in so many ways on that cross. You know, Jesus most likely died of a broken heart. Can you imagine that? On the cross, he most likely died of a broken heart. Because most people who die on the cross is designed for suffocation. You eventually can't get your breath. You eventually can't pull the muscles because how many of y'all had Charlie horses before? Every part of the muscles in the body, because all that bad stuff that's in the muscles, create Charlie horses. The chest muscles almost get to the point of they're paralyzed. So most people die on the cross. When they die on the cross, they die of suffocation. Jesus didn't die of suffocation. We can see that in what was in Scripture. Because the first thing he says, Father, I give you my life. He had the ability to think of what's going on. He had the ability to concentrate. He had the ability to do that. And when he says, Father, I give you my life. I give my life to pay for all these people's sins. That's what he's saying. I give you my life to pay the debt, the ransom that's owed. That's what Jesus was telling his Father. We also see that it said, it is finished, in John chapter 19 and verse 30. When he said that, he gave up his spirit. Right to the very point of him dying, he was able to speak on it. When he was saying it was finished, he said, the old law is finished. Now the new law, the perfect law, the sacrifice has been paid. The ransom has been paid. On it. So he was able to say it's finished. But look at this. This is what I found in my studies when I was studying in Psalms chapter 22. We were reading it earlier. In verse 14, it says this. I am poured out like water. Where's that sound familiar? And my bones are out of joint, but not broken. My heart has turned to wax and melted within me. Is that even possible? There's a sac that goes around your heart. So when your heart gets under stress and they're putting off fluid, their fluid will build up between the sac and the heart. And you can imagine that heart pumping. It's already struggling from being dehydrated and trying to push oxygen. Now has that sac that's starting to build fluid around there, as you see right here. What happens is that fluid builds up on there and puts pressure on that heart. That heart can't even pump as effective as it struggling already for. So it's sitting there working harder. Now remember, Christ Jesus was in shape. He was a physical man. He didn't have any medical conditions. So when that heart is trying to do everything that a 30-year-old man's heart was able to do, it's being forced by this fluid that's pressuring that heart. What occurs when that occurs is the heart gets to the point it actually ruptures and breaks. Now there's fluid in the sac in the blood, and then he died right then and there. Now, is that even possible? They're shaking their head because they know. Is that even possible? Yes, it's very possible. Because let me tell you a story. When I first got in the emergency services, I responded to a call at Red Hill Trailer Park. A little girl ran between the two vehicles. The dad was working on the vehicles, and the vehicle came off the ramp, crushing the girl between the two vehicles. We responded to it, and there was a medic from Prince George Crew that responded. It was ALS that worked on her until we med-flighted her out. We were able to get her med-flighted out. But the bad thing is he had a little girl the same age, looked almost just like her. He was on his way going down River Road, and going towards Hopewell to restock at John Randolph Hospital. When he got to River, at the end of the River Road, a lot of y'all know there's a radio station that sits there. He had a massive heart attack. And he died right there. The vehicle drove right on over into the grass and hit a fence. The Hopewell emergency crew responded. And when they got there, they tried to do chest compressions. And they said they couldn't get the chest to move. So they asked the doctor, what was that? That we couldn't even do chest compressions on this person. The doctor said his heart exploded. It was full of fluid. And the chest was not going to move. So yes, medically, that can occur. You imagine, you look at Psalms thousands of years prior to that, it predicted it. Because if you read this, my heart was turned to wax, and it had melted inside of me. Christ died of a broken heart. No, Jesus was up high on the cross. You know, the soldiers came up to the thieves on the cross and they took something and broke their legs. Why did they break their legs? Because I told you earlier, you suffocate on the cross. If they break their legs, they can't push up to catch a breath. So they go ahead and speed up the process and they break their legs through that. So they do that to the one criminal and they do that to the other one. But when they come up to Jesus, he's already died. So they took a spear. And when they ran the spear into his side, it hit that cavity where all that blood and water ran out. So all that flew out. How could they predict that 1,000 years prior to that? Because it's prophecy. It was a plan. God had a plan for you. God has a plan for me. It had to take the suffering of Jesus Christ to die on that cross for us. So what I want to do this morning, I want you, I know I'm running a little bit long, but we got food in there, so we're good. I want you to think about this. What about my cross? Matthew 16, verse 24 and verse 26 says this. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone you come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever saves his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Or what shall a man gain in return for his soul? You know, we're told to carry our cross daily for Christ. You've heard Russ say this many, many times in the last several weeks. The cross is only designed for one purpose, and that's to suffer and to die. And when we're asked to carry our cross, we're asked to be willing to suffer for Christ's benefit. That we're willing to go through some hard times just because we're a Christian. You know, I found this picture on the internet, and I said, man, that fits the world today. Sure, he's got a cross. He's carrying his cross. But when I looked at this picture, I looked at this picture and said, man, he could carry that cross all day long. How much true suffering is going on with carrying that cross? Basically, all he's saying is, yes, I'm a Christian. Look, see, I got a cross. Everybody see it? I got a cross. But we are told to carry our cross that we're going to have to suffer. We're going to have to suffer. And there's that one point in that lesson when I started studying, and it really struck me between the eyes, and I started going through all the medical aspects of it, and I could go on for another hour on some of the medical aspects of it. I realized, am I really truly suffering? Am I really truly suffering for Christ? If I look at my day-to-day life, am I really truly suffering on Him? Am I doing this, or am I doing this? It really made me think. Because let me give you some examples. You know, we come together at 9:30 in the morning and we do the Bible class. Oh, it's so much easier to stay in bed for another hour and catch that sleep. But sometimes it's a little harder to get up in the morning and go to Sunday school and worship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a little more difficult. Are we like this and say, ah, I'll just make the Sunday worship service, or ah, I'll just make it next Sunday. And we don't take this worship seriously enough the way it's designed to be. Our contribution. It's supposed to be a sacrifice when we contribute. But are we giving our leftovers to the Lord? Say, yeah, I give every week. But is it really hard? Is it really difficult to give? Maybe it should be a little bit. How about telling somebody about Christ? How many of us got the attitude, yeah, I let them know that I'm a Christian. But to sit down and talk to them what it means to be a Christian. Oh, whoa, wait a minute. No, I'll invite them to church. And I'll let Russ tell them what it means to be a Christian. It's harder for us to be able to tell somebody to be a Christian. Sit down and show them and teach them. Because we don't want to offend them in any form or fashion. We don't have the ability to stand for the truth sometimes. Christianity is not designed to be easy. It comes with a cross. Think about that for a minute. It comes with a cross to carry. You know, we've been talking in Bible class in Revelation. And we're at the point of the seven churches, the letter of the seven churches. And it has a theme to that. And we talked about it in class over and over. That same theme to them is the same theme for us. And the theme is, you're going to suffer. Yeah, it's bad. It's going to get worse. But the victory's won. That's what we need to realize. Yes, being a Christian is difficult. Yes, it's being hard. And yes, it's going to get even harder, especially in the way this world's going. But the victory's already won. It's won. So no matter what we go through on this earth, our victory's there. Romans chapter 6, verse 2 and 4 tells us this. By no means we are just those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism to His death in order that, just as Christ is risen from the dead, through the glory of our Father, we too will have everlasting life. If you're not a Christian, first of all, foremost, you had the debate about is baptism required, that pretty much lays it all out, just saying baptism to be a Christian is required. We have to die with Christ. We have to be buried with Him so we can arise anew on it. The victory's already won. Because let me tell you something. When Satan saw Christ Jesus hanging on that cross, he's going, yes! He was looking back and said, yes! And then when Christ Jesus was buried, he was going, I've won! He's going, I got this! But when Christ Jesus rose on the third day, Satan went, uh-oh, I didn't win. He's up again. He's won the victory. Christ is risen. So let me put this for perspective in your life. When Satan sees us willing to suffer and willing to die for our Christ, he goes, uh-oh, I've seen this happen already. I know when somebody's willing to suffer and die on the cross, I'm losing the battle. Because he saw it in Jesus Christ. But when he sees you like this, he goes, I got this. They don't get it. They don't understand. They don't get the concept. Let them keep carrying that cross saying, yeah, I'm a Christian. Can you see? Can you tell? But when he sees you like this, the devil goes, uh-oh. I've already seen Christ Jesus do it. Now I see his followers do it. We got to realize that with suffering, our victory's already won. Gary's going to come up here in just a moment, and Dale's going to go to the back for anybody who has a private prayer. But we need to realize, no matter what suffering we go through, that it's for a purpose and for a reason. that our victory's won. This lesson literally hit me between the eyes and really questioned me, am I suffering enough for my Christ Lord Jesus? I looked at what He did for me and what He did on that cross, and I examined myself. But isn't that the way it's designed to do? For us, if we truly focus on Christ's death and what He suffered for us, it puts us in check saying, hey, maybe I need to make sure that I'm suffering in some form or fashion for my Father, who was willing to die on that cross for me, who was willing to pay the ransom, who was willing to suffer where I should have been in that place of that. Because of my sins, put Him on that cross. Maybe we ought to look at ourselves daily and see, are we suffering enough for Christ? And doing whatever we can for Christ each and every day. If this lesson has impacted you in any form or fashion, in any way like it affects me, and you want to bring your petition before the church and before the Lord, Jerry, as an elder of our congregation, will more than happy do that for you. But I want to leave you with one last thought. You know, when Christ went on that cross, He pretty much was alone. His disciples were scared, and I would have been scared too, because I ain't going to tell you, I ain't going to be any braver than they were. I would have scattered seeing what was going on. Jesus suffered that cross. But for us, the Lord tells us He will not put on us any more than we can bear. But He also designed this church for us. We all suffer. So with suffering you're going through, you're not the only ones going through suffering. You have brothers and sisters in Christ who've been there and can be there for you. He put leaders in the church to lead and pray for us and look over us. And He gives us the Holy Spirit because He knows what anguish is all about. He's shown it. So He knows when we have anguish, He sends us the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the brothers and sisters in Christ. We have the elders of our church. He provides us so many more things to help us bear that cross than He had to go through. So remember that. If you're struggling with anything whatsoever, you can come now and we can pray together as a congregation. And we can help you in any way. But hopefully after this lesson, may you think, maybe I need to examine myself. Even if you don't come up forward, maybe we all need to take a stronger look at our lives and see what are we doing for Christ. If there's anything we can do, I want you to come now as we stand and sing.